Nomads 4. Foreign Worlds. Chapter 5. Serwan Brooks retired to his quarters at the rear of the bridge, undid the top buttons of his uniform and sat down on his bed. The room was tailored to the human occupant. The light was bright, the colors friendly and designed for optimal comfort. Quite different from the oppressive surroundings inside the wooden ship, which exuded the charm of a musty tree cave. Gloomy, dark and always somehow damp, like a stalactite grotto, he thought back over the speech with which he had just tried to intimidate the new bodyguards. It had been his first speech of this kind and he had stolen the individual parts from the words of his predecessors, whose adjutant he was. Like many Serwans, Brooks had been with the Ikado for a long time. From the beginning of the invasion, in fact, when the first human ships had been collateral damage in the Kemen-Ikado conflict. The first Serwan came from the Olympus. A colonial ship on its way to Mars, which was hit by a stray volley from the cannons of an Ikado cruiser when two fleets were fighting over the Red Planet. More out of curiosity than kindness, the Ikados had rescued the survivors. As the passengers of the Olympus were members of so-called high society, the Ikado commander, who was partly responsible for the disaster, found it useful to use them for his own purposes. In addition, for some unknown reason, Ulan Mestre, the ruler of the Horseheads, was interested in and enthusiastic about humans. Brooks took off his boots, lay down on the bed and stared thoughtfully at the ceiling. He remembered exactly how he sucked the last liters of stale air into his lungs, enclosed in his spacesuit. How his vision blurred and a troop of Ikado came towards him in the foggy corridor. In the vacuum, he couldn't hear the thudding of their boots, but he could hear the vibrations running through the floor as the horses' heads approached. In the end, the thousand or so survivors found themselves on the Skitra. The flagship of the Ikado Prince Ulan Mestre, who divided the former passengers of the Olympus into groups and sent them to his sons. Until 2 years ago, Brooks had served in the palace on Otrakin and in Ulan Mestre's fleet. The chief Serwan there had been Yuri Barinsky, to whom he had been an assistant until Brooks was placed under Zurak Mestre. Here he had to come to terms with Serwan Victor Mears, whose successor he was to take over and who was considered stubborn and difficult. Qualities that didn't win him many friends, but for which Brooks has since forgiven him. There were plenty of reasons that could embitter a man and darken his soul. Looking back, Brooks was now much kinder to the old man, now dead and buried under the great tree in the palace garden on Otrakin. He had not known him for long. Just 3 months before he died, Brooks dreaded the idea of becoming bitter, given the many secrets he had shared and would have to share with the Ikados. He wondered how much the burden of this knowledge might weigh him down and cripple him. The galaxy was not a peaceful place, and all Mestre cared about was the possibility of finding new methods and soldiers for warfare. At that moment, a chime sounded from the door, announcing a visitor. "Come in," Brooke ordered, and the door slid aside. Sokov and Bronstein stepped into the room. They stopped at the door while Brooke stood up and sat down in the chair in front of the holoconsole. "What's your impression?" he asked the two young men. Bronstein was the first to answer. "They are very relaxed. And no one has asked any questions. What should they be asking? Where are the soldiers who are replacing them? What do you say, Bronstein?" The young man hesitated for a moment. "That they've been transferred. They're now serving on another ship."
"Which ship?"
"We don't know," he replied, licking his lips. He's excited, Brooks realized. He senses a lie and is trying to muster the willingness to accept it as truth. "Only I know where they are now," he said. "And no one will dare ask me about it." Sokov's gaze wandered restlessly around the room. "Are the rumors true?" Brooks fixed Sokov with a long, penetrating stare. The two aides had previously been Victor Mir's assistants. Brooks had to rely on guesses as to what the old man had confided in them, if he deigned to talk to them at all.
"What did Serwan Mears tell you?"
Brooks asked abruptly. "He was very secretive," Bronstein replied. "An excellent quality for a Serwan. But he often had nightmares," Sokov added. "He would call us and sometimes he would still be talking and not quite come out of his dreams.
He would sit there on the edge of the bed and hold his hands to his temples.
What did he say?
Brooks continued, and the two assistants looked at each other before Sokov continued. It was mostly just stammering. Hard to understand. But every now and then he would say something about mutilations and that they were still there.
They're still there. They're still there.
Sokov was visibly shaken by the memories. At least I think I understood that. Brooks waved him off. An old, confused man. He was already old on board the Olympus. He shouldn't have been on board. So the rumors aren't true? Bronstein probed further.
What rumors?
From the guardsmen and the Gothrex. Brooks shook his head. That's the reason why we have no contact with the soldiers. We don't want the nonsense to spread among them. Please hold back with your conspiracy stories. Let them think you're conceited and arrogant. It's better than the Akatos finding out that you're undermining the soldiers' fighting strength with your stories. Now get out of here. The two young men bowed and left the Serwin's quarters. Brooks lay back down on the bed and tried to forget the conversation. Of course, he didn't succeed. He had also found Mears half asleep and fantasizing a few times and had understood far more of his stammering than Sokov and Bronstein. He no longer doubted that Mears' nightmares were no mere figments of his imagination. But it was better to feign indifference. He knew several of the guardsmen he had accompanied over the last 2 years and was now in the dark about their fate. He doubted that they had been sent to the Aponi worlds to lead a peaceful and tranquil life in accordance with their glorious deeds, and the faces of two people he had met a good 8 years ago mingled with his musings. They were in the service of Gorak, Zurak Mistre's younger brother. And now they were here. There had to be a reason why they had come back into the service of House Mestre in such a special roundabout way. He couldn't remember their names, and they had certainly forgotten him. But Brooks was good at remembering faces. He never forgot a face. Never.